Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick, I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, we are sweltering our way through the week. How are you, Roo?
Very, very good. Another great day in Darwin yesterday, Dits. We'll talk about it later on the show, but went down in the crocodile cage yesterday at Crocosaurus.
When you usually go
down in a cage, like over in Port Lincoln for sharks, it's usually a full-day trip where you have to go out for several hours to get out to where the sharks are. In Darwin, you go to the main street.
Yeah. Right in the heart. It's beautiful.
Yeah, 10 years ago, one man spent over $30 million building a facility right in the main street, so backpackers and tourists don't have to travel too far, and it's pretty unbelievable.
So the croc we went down with yesterday, 5.5 metres. Chopper.
Made us look skinny, which you'll see on triplem.com.au later on. But
I'm just wondering, because we were in a Perspex cage. It was a cylinder, wasn't it? Perspex cage. I'm just wondering, you know, the Perspex, is it like those fat mirrors you have at the Royal Adelaide Show? Because that can't be you and I in there. We look a bit large.
Yeah, exactly right. But we had a bit of fun and, it was awesome. Awesome to have a look at a crocodile up close because they look so much bigger underwater than what they do in real life.
It was scary.
Tex Walker's going to join us today as well. We've got Big Mal as well, so a massive show coming up.
I'll have to pass the hat around. Tex got fined $1,000.
He's got plenty.
Has he?
Just signed a new deal, remember?
Oh, okay.
Several years.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
All right, we're off and running here up in Darwin again. It's Ruin Dits on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ah, Ruin Dits for Breakfast up here in Darwin, Roo. What is making news around the world?
Oh, haven't heard much from Cocaine Cassie for a while.
It's gone very quiet.
Very, very quiet, which is probably a good thing because got a lot of press and that annoyed a lot of people that potential drug smuggler was getting so much press there for a while. But she's back in the news because she was going to need some help from Australia for taxpayer money to help her case over in Colombia. Otherwise, they fear that she's going to get forgotten about over
there. Well, this has come up before, hasn't it? We only discussed this in recent times about helping someone overseas with their court case. So should we, Roo? Do we help? Now, she's made a mistake. We all know that. But she's a 19-year-old. 19-year-olds do make mistakes. Do we help her? And
innocent until proven guilty, I suppose.
Lawyers will tell you that everyone deserves... what do they say?
Chance.
Yeah, representation.
Yep. Her uncle does not believe that we should be. I'll just quote her uncle, Neil Sainsbury, here. I don't understand why we'd be funding a drug runner overseas. No way, he told the Advertiser. I'm a taxpayer. I would hate to think my dollar is going over there. Australian taxpayers' money shouldn't be funding any drug runners, the Bali Nine, any of them. They get what they deserve, he said. So he was the man who she, Cassie, said she'd work for, and he came out and said, that's false. She's never worked for me in the cleaning business. So he's pretty clear about her niece that he doesn't want his taxpayers' money going towards her.
Sorry, I said she was 19. She's 22. Not that that changes much. But, there's a part of me that feels very, very sorry for this young girl rotting away in a jail over there in Colombia. But at the same time, she's a drug runner. I guess I don't have a lot of sympathy from that point of view.
Yep.
What else is making news, Roo?
Well, there's a couple of things. Mark Robinson's saying, well, if Nathan Buckley gets the chop, should Eddie step down as El Presidente?
Ooh,
he's been there for a long, long time, Eddie. I think it might be sort of pushing 20 years.
Yep.
He was the one who come up with a succession plan from a very successful Mick Mulderhouse at the end.
Yep.
And there's been a couple of mistakes at Collingwood over the last year or so with certain people in footy departments and bits and pieces. So he's going for the big fish, Mark Robinson, and I'm sure Eddie will be all over that. So we'll wait and see what happens with that at the end of the year.
I'd be interested to hear, and we will keep our ears on it, what Eddie says on the Triple M breakfast show in Melbourne this morning.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like people criticising him, Ed. And that's not a criticism of him, by the way, but he does come out swinging.
Yeah, and he has done an awesome job over a long period of time, but they've only had one flag in his whole time that he's been president, over 19, 20 years, which is about industry average, but Collingwood being Collingwood would want more than that.
But he's turned it into a super club off-field, hasn't he?
He has, absolutely they have. Think where he was when they took over, they were bankrupt and at Victoria Park.
Mm.
Now they're at the MCG and the Lexus Centre and, you know, doing what they do. BHP have signed on with the Crows, which is for the Crows women's team, which is a good announcement. BHP have never sponsored a South Australian footy club, which is sort of a bit strange, really, when you think about it. I mean, they're one of the biggest employers in the state with 3,000.
Were they involved 3, with Frio? Is that who they've sponsored in the past?
Rio Tinto has. I'm not sure if BHP have over there.
I might be getting confused there,
good news for the women's team because a lot of companies have come out and wanted to support them just because they're women, which is good. So new sponsors coming into the football world, and that's a 3-year deal. So well done to BHP and the LA Crows.
All right, speaking of women's sport, now this is a strange one for me, but the world of professional women's golf, as of next Monday, has released a set of guidelines.
Who is the top women's golfer in the world these days?
The Korean lady, Kim.
Is she?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Lydia Ko from New Zealand. You thought you'd get me there, didn't you? They share it around a little bit.
I forgot how much time you spend on the couch.
They're watching women's golf. Anyway, one reason I watch it is because they're good to watch. And no, but they've come out with a set of guidelines now, and this has really set the cat among the pigeons. They want the girls to dress down a little bit. So no more mini skirts.
Not dress up.
No more plunging necklines. And there are some golfers, without trying to sound like a pervert, but there are some golfers that are pretty good on the eye.
Yeah.
They're saying, rack off. Why? What's wrong with looking good? And in fact, poor choice of words. But some of the girls have come out and said, well, I think wearing oversized, loose-fitting clothing that hangs out and you don't tuck it in looks ugly as well. And I don't know, it's an interesting one. So we're telling girls now, as a society, make sure you don't look good or look sexy because that's not on.
Gee, they've changed their dress in tennis a lot from yesteryear, haven't they? I mean, they were pretty, they dressed down a lot in tennis years ago, and the girls, you know, obviously look very sporty now, and I think they dress well. Golf, they're not too skimpy at all, are they, in golf?
I don't think. No.
I haven't seen anything that's worrying.
But imagine if we tell everyone to dress the same. I mean, what do we want to be buddy in North Korea, do we? I mean,
you've got to have standards, but you wouldn't think golfers aren't exactly looking like they're going down Highley Street at 1 a.m.
No. And look, I'm sorry to use this term, but this is what the article online says. They're slut-shaming these golfers. Can you believe that?
What?
Yeah, they're saying that you're looking a little bit slutty, girls. Now, this is just outrageous. It's ridiculous.
Oh, God, never thought I'd hear that word with golf.
No, golf in burkas. That'll take off.
Yeah.
Cover up. Yeah. Anyway, that's what's making news around the place.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Only have time for one breakfast show.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
The Governor General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, I haven't spoken to him for a week or two, Ru. Let's get him on. Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits, and good morning to you, Ru. I've been missing you terribly, and I believe you're in the top end this morning.
Yes, we are.
We are. We're wrestling Crocs up here, Big Mal.
Look out. I tell you what, have you already got a Darwin stubby in your class? Breakfast of champions.
Yeah, no, we've had a couple of Darwin stubbies and beautiful conditions up here, Big Mal. Yes. I'd like to see
it's
you
a terrific
up here
place, isn't it, Darwin? We love it.
We do.
Now, Big Mal, I want to cover off on the big issues of the week. What about the debacle with the Game of Thrones? Did you watch the premiere of Season 7 earlier this week?
Well, I did because I'm a Foxtel subscriber. And, of course, I get some terrific torrents too. So, no, I didn't have any trouble getting into it. No, I love it. I don't know whether you guys are GOT fans, but George R.R. Martin's incredible fantasy epic set in Westeros has some terrifying parallels for everybody in Canberra. We are in the winds of winter. Euron is like the media, an unreliable source. There are White Walkers and Night Kings. There are struggles, romance, sex, and ultimately war. And as Jon Snow put it last season, the true enemy won't wait out the storm. He brings the storm. And in short, what I think that means is that I'd like to stab Tony in the face with a sword and then make love to Lucy without the central heating on to give us that wintry feel, maybe under a bear rug.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, what about the anti-terror measures that have been brought in? Run us through them, can you?
Well, indeed. I thought I looked quite impressive with those special operations soldiers behind me and their masks. To stay on the theme, with TV, it's the same as Frank Underwood's State of War at the beginning of Series 5 of House of Cards. It's a distraction, if you will, from the winds of winter with Tony. Though we need to be agile and innovative against a very real threat. And to that end, we've moved legislation to allow the Army to assist in domestic situations, such as crushing student protests and any union insurrections. Look out for the CFMEU.
Yeah, I like it.
But essentially, I'm just protecting myself from Tony, too, when he goes completely gaga, because he's going to go right off the chain eventually, isn't he?
Right. Yep. Go, send the army in and grab Tone.
That's it.
Now, you've spent a lot of the winter overseas. Has it been fruitful for you?
Well, I think it has, and I love leaving this country. We all do. Get a couple of grand in your sky rocket and off you go. And I feel the same sense of excitement, Dits, climbing aboard RAAF1 that a bogan feels going to Bali for the first time aboard an $89 AirAsia X flight.
Right.
You don't know what to expect, do you?
No,
I'm sitting there like a pudgy working class, all a quiver, and I still feel that excitement. Now, I did meet the Queen, which was quite exciting, even though I am a Republican. And I can tell you that, unlike most 19-year-olds, she doesn't smell like urine and biscuits, which is great. And she can still vacuum her own rug, too, which is terrific stuff.
Right. Actually, something you've probably never experienced, but I went to Bali last week, and when we were coming back on the budget airline that we chose, Rue, you'll be interested in this. I was sitting in row 2 and my wife was in row 25, but she could upgrade.
Well,
no, it was because we were somehow on separate bookings.
Oh,
but
we went
to the counter and she said, "Can I sit next to my husband?" And it cost her $9.50 to grab what was called a hot seat. So you can upgrade, Prime Minister, to a hot seat for $9.50, just for future reference.
Gee,
right?
Well, even on RAAF1, I still have Lucy down the back, so I know exactly what you're up to there.
Hey, what have you been humming a tune to lately, Big Mayor?
We're having a 90s revival at the moment, Drew. So
beautiful.
I'm really enjoying the Dandy Warhols.
Oh.
That song, Bohemian Like You.
Yes.
You've got a great car. Yeah, what's wrong with it today? I used to have one too, baby. Yo, come and have a look. I really love your hairdo. I'm glad you like mine too. See, we're looking pretty cool. I getcha. Yes.
Oh, good on you.
You all know the chorus because I like you. Yeah, I like you. And I feel so bohemian like you.
Like you.
Yeah, I like you. Yeah, I like you. And I feel
so.
Sorry, Lucy, I'm on the phone.
I can see you spinning your knickers singing that song.
Righto, where are you rocking this morning,
Prime Minister? Well, of course, Triple M rocks the top end. We rock the territory.
Good on you, guys.
Talking to you again.
Talk next week. Hey, Rue, in a moment, we're going to relive the highlights of yesterday. You and I went down with a 5.5-metre croc. Can you believe that? It's Rue and Dits up here in Darwin on Triple M.
Triple M.
6:52, Rue and Dits from the top end in Darwin here on Triple M. Yesterday you dragged me down to the, what's it called? The
Crocosaurus.
Yeah.
In the main street of Darwin. Mm. It's in Mitchell Street. Mm-hmm. Look, it's a brilliant experience. A man called Mick Burns built this facility about 10 years ago. It cost over $30 million 10 years ago to build.
Wow.
And you can go down in a cage with the crocs. You can hold crocs. You can feed crocs. You can the kids can go in and have a swim, which for them feels like they're swimming with crocodiles. You can see big barramundi in aquariums. You can see snakes, and you can get a whole lot of information about Darwin. But I did want you to experience what it's like swimming with a crocodile, and I wanted to do it too, Dits, to be fair. But
now, when we went through the briefing, the safety briefing beforehand, now, by the way, I want to thank Penny, who's a former Riverland girl, but she looked after us yesterday. Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
Really looked after us down there. But you go down there, Ruin, the safety briefing had me a little concerned. The girl was saying things like, so there's a backup motor, because you get lowered down by this hydraulic
sort of setup.
I said, why would you want a backup motor?
Mm.
Oh, if something goes wrong. Nothing's ever gone wrong, by the way, but there is a backup motor. And then there was a backup this, and then she kept saying, and if something was to go wrong, we'll, you know, do this. I said, why do you keep saying, if something goes wrong?
What about the spare cage over on the side?
Yeah.
It had scratch marks on it, like it had been through Cyclone Tracy.
I know.
So I was a bit worried about how aggressive they get.
Mm.
And when you were getting lowered into the cage, Dits, it's fair to say you were shaking. Even my kids said, oh, Dits was shaking when he was crawling into the cage.
Now, there's a video online. Go to Triple M Facebook if you want to see this. The crocodile is 5.5 metres. Ru, I just want to point out to people that do go online, if you remember back to high school in your physics lessons, there's a thing, you know, refractions off water that make you look a little bit bigger than you really are.
Yes.
You know, the water and the shape of the Perspex shield, I'm not really as blubbery as I look, all right?
No.
I just want to point that out.
No, and I'm not either.
Yeah.
But you've been in Bali for a week.
It's an optical illusion, all right?
We nearly look as big as a crocodile.
And, yeah, just to point out the crocodile is the one that's got the big crocodile skin. That's just to point out the difference between the two of us, all right? But anyway, here it is. This is us yesterday at the Crocosaurus Cove.
About to enter the cage of death here at Crocosaurus Cove. What are you laughing at?
Oh, the cage of death.
Actually, we've got Penny with us here from Crocosaurus Cove. Penny, why would it be called the cage of death?
Well, what else would you call it?
I don't know.
You're going to swim with a 5-metre crocodile. So.
5 metre. We're staring at one here now. Now, what's this fella's name?
This is Wendell.
Doesn't look like a nice little tippet Wendell, does he?
No, and we're going down with one called Chopper Dits.
You've actually just explained to me that there are backup motors, there are three chains wrapped. Why would you want a backup motor?
No, look, nothing can go wrong. It's perfectly safe. We do a lot of dives every year. It's really popular and people thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right, okay. Well, let's go and do it.
Good luck, Dits.
Yeah, thank you.
Things we do for radio. I just want to call it all that here.
Scarier than I thought they were, Dits.
Yeah, what about when at one stage it stood up? How wide would it be? It was in, you said Greg Phillips and Ollie Vines.
Yeah, it was across half his hand missing, the Pakistani cricketer.
He was missing a hand, yeah, that's right.
But no, they're huge and very graceful.
And if you're up here, I recommend it because, look, I didn't feel scared at all. Going in there, I was really, really panicky. But once you're in there, it just didn't feel so safe. It was brilliant.
Tick it off the bucket list.
So that was yesterday, and yeah, there's a video online now at Triple M Facebook page.
Yeah, that's right.
Rue, what a great experience, and yeah, just to get up close and personal with them, amazing.
You just can't believe how big they are. They are huge, and it's the same with it when you see a shark underwater as well. Their girth just, you know, just makes you think if you're actually in the water with them, you'd stand no chance at all.
But if you go to the Crocosaurus Cove, you'll see plenty of they've got so many there, and they're all huge. They're all big.
Brilliant for kids.
And they do a feeding, for example. You'll watch the crocs get fed.
Yep.
They go into a bit of a frenzy with that.
Yeah, you can hold the crocs as well. So brilliant.
When you say hold the crocs, they're little baby ones. They'll let your kids hold.
Over a metre long.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
So, I didn't get to do that. With their mouths taped together? They had to be, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, yep, we've done that. We did that yesterday afterwards. So it was a great day and really lucky. So if you're ever going to Darwin, put that one on the list of things to do.
Yep, highly recommend it. Thanks to everyone at Crocosaurus Cove.
Ruined tits for breakfast. On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Now, Roo, have you got any loose change there? I can throw in a couple of dollars.
How much have you got? I've got $2.
$2? Yeah. Yeah, right. Alice the Wag, she's given us $1. Yeah. Right, so far, we've raised $5.
$995, sure.
The Tex Walker fund, he was fined $1,000. Tex, you've been naughty again.
2 weeks in a row, Ditch. We might need more than $5.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, but hopefully I can donate it to a charity of my choice. I don't know whether the AFL allow that.
No, I don't know. What was it, Jordan Lewis? What did you do? Hit him in the back of the head?
Nah, he slung an elbow at me and it just missed me. And then he punched me, so I thought I'd square up and punch him in the back. But retaliators always get caught, as Mum and
they
Dad
do.
Used to always say, Dits.
Yes, don't like the fact that retaliators get caught. Hey, Tex, so this is an important one. The rule is if you have two fines, which you've had in successive weeks now, the next time you get reported, you get an automatic game. Are you in that category, or is one of your fines not at the level?
No, my first one was it was under rough conduct, I think, so it doesn't fall under that category. So technically,
you've still got one more chance.
Yeah, I've still got one more chance before
don't waste it. All right?
No, I won't. I'll keep my fist open. So. They don't get clenched and get a bit angry.
You and Bernie, gee whiz, you've been doing a bit of damage. Do you feel sorry for your old mate Bernie? He's becoming the next David Rees-Jones.
He's been known to lift that elbow quite a bit, and it's stemmed from probably his old man and uncle, Tim and Chris.
Tim's listening now. He's just got back from Darwin. He's driving back to the farm with a big smile on his face because he had more rain in one day than he's had for a long time. So he's cocky.
Did they go out to Darwin, did they?
Yeah.
And they just had another little addition to their family, James and Ellie Moss.
Yep.
Archie, wasn't it?
Archie. Former Crow, Mossy. Yep.
Archie Moss.
Yeah. Now, Tex, the best tackle I saw in the game the other night against Melbourne was after the siren. What happened?
Oh, you're right about that. I was standing with Huey Greenwood and talking to Byrne, and at the corner of my eye, I saw one of the locals in Darwin jump the fence and he ran over, Tex Walker, stay there. I thought, I turned around and here he was. It was probably the best tackle of the night.
So he brought you down, did he?
Oh, he didn't bring me down, but I had to give him a good old Dustin Martin palm off. And then
and he had a couple of Carlton drafts?
Oh, a couple of Bundy rums, I reckon, Roo. And then we finally got him off, and obviously the security come out and took him away.
How friendly are they, though? The indigenous fellas up in Darwin, I've seen heaps of them, and they love their footy, and they're super friendly.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved being up in Darwin. I'm driving along the main road, and there was on one side it looked country, and then on the other side it was really tropical, and they were very friendly. You should have seen after the game when we're walking to the bus when Eddie came out by himself, poor fella.
What did they do to Ed?
Oh, everyone was trying to. It was like one of those things on South Road that you drive along, you see at car yards, those blow up, those big arm things that fly everywhere. Someone was trying to pull his arm, then they're pulling his leg, pulling his shirt. Poor fella, but yeah, we loved it. Any chance we get to go out there, we'll go again.
One thing I've found up here in Texas is that Cyril Rioli must have 8,000 cousins. Cyril's my cousin. That's all I keep hearing. Cyril's my cousin.
Uncle, cousin, second cousin.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
I tell you what, though, Tex, there's so many Adelaide people in Darwin. Every time we go out for tea up here, half the joint's full of Adelaide people. So a good tourism idea for the Northern Territory, and good support from the Adelaide Crows members as well for coming up here.
Yeah, no, we thoroughly enjoyed going up there, and I know our fans did as well, and it was good to come away on the good side with the 4 points.
Tex, Roo made the comment during our call on Triple M, it's the best deck he's ever seen. What was the ground like?
Yeah, I'd have to tend to agree. It's one of the best decks I've played on. It was probably a little bit harder underfoot than like the MCG or Adelaide Oval, but the deck, they had it in great condition, so credit to...
They cut it short, Tex. It was really short grass, wasn't it? That's maybe why. It looked like it was only about a centimetre thick, the grass.
It was very thin, the grass, but, they got it up into great conditions.
Hey, we're going to take a break, Tex, but after the break, we're going to ask you about your feud with Kane Corns. This is funny stuff.
Leave these Port Adelaide boys alone,
yeah,
Tex. Come on.
Poor old Kane. And we're going to ask you about Sloaney, whether he'll play, and Jake Lever as well.
All right, Tex joins us thanks to Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home. More with Tex in a moment on Triple M.
Ruin Tits for breakfast.
Tex!
On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
It's 7:24 on this Wednesday morning. Tex is with us. Tex, I thought you showed great leadership the other night. When Rory Sloane went down, it looked very, very nasty. He obviously didn't know where he was. He was knocked out. But he just didn't want to come off, did he?
Nah, he didn't want to come off. I probably shouldn't laugh, but I had a bit of a smirk when he tried to do his side-to-side step and convince the doctors and trainers that he was okay. And but, yeah, he was... As soon as I walked over, I saw in his eyes that he wasn't with it, and recommended that he might go and sit on the bench. And he was pretty reluctant at first, but...
I thought he was going to punch a trainer there for a minute. Yeah.
He thought one of the trainers was Bernie, and he kept saying, "Get off me, Bernie, you're not my mate."
Oh, no.
Yeah, he thought he was at a stoppage, and then he's like, no. I'm standing the mark. Let me stand the mark.
Oh, don't you lose it with your poor old concussion.
Fingers crossed he'll be right.
Is he looking good and feeling good?
Yeah, I spoke to him yesterday, and he's passed all the concussion tests so far, but we got our main session today, so if he gets through that, should be fine for Friday night.
Jake Lever, 50-50 or unlikely?
He's similar. He'll have to probably train today to at least put his name up. But, with a hamstring, you probably don't want to test it out too much. So he'd probably more be unlikely.
What about your old mate Patrick Dangerfield? Broke his leg, daddy's ACL, come out and kick 5. Do you think he'll play this week?
Well, by the looks of his press conference, he's a bit sore everywhere. But, I'm sure he'll play. We know what Danger's like.
Well, that was all on the back of Kane Corns having a go at him, saying he fakes injuries. He had a go at Hardwick, his premiership teammate. He's had a go at Dangerfield, the best player in the competition. He continually has a go at you, Tex. And on the weekend, on Channel 9, they posed a question to you.
Not a big fan of players that come out of the game and don't have a positive spin on the game, because we all love the game of footy.
I think you're angling for a media position yourself at the end of your career, Tex. It'll be reasonably boring if you're all just positive.
I always look at the positive things. Pretty glass half full, Kane, so I'd like to keep it that way.
Tex, do you think there's any way you could reconcile your differences with Kane Corns?
Catch up and just have a coffee and just sort of sort your differences out.
Coffee inside a boxing ring or something like that.
What do you reckon of Kane?
Probably do a few people a favour that way.
Tex,
don't pick on little Kane.
Well, he picked on you, Dits, in the lift.
Yeah, he did. No, he had a go at me the other day. But he's sticking up for himself. Tex, he makes a point. No good players coming out of the game and joining the media and just telling us everywhere, it was a really good game. Oh, it was a really good contest. You've got to say something, surely.
You can say something without trying to make headlines every time you speak.
Well, with the Paddy Dangerfield thing, I don't think anyone disagrees with him.
Oh, come on.
Has anyone agreed with him so far?
Yeah, on the Paddy Dangerfield thing, I agree with him.
What he said?
Yep.
What was the thing you said again? I didn't even listen.
He said that when he was at the Crows,
when he was at the Crows, Tex, he was spoken to about going down so easily and, you know, being injured.
He didn't listen.
No. Well, there you go. So Kane was right.
Well, he's not with us anymore, so that's not for us to worry about.
He's the enemy now. He's the enemy now. Right. He'll be the enemy on Friday night.
And we'll treat him as such.
Glass half full.
Are we finally going to beat these Cats, Tex?
Yeah, well, that's the plan, Roo. Ditz, we're planning on beating them this Friday night. We're in good form on our home deck, so we'll put on a good show Friday night.
That's good. I want more hard-hitting stuff like that, you know, like, no, we're planning on beating them Friday night. That's good.
Hey, while you're up in Darwin, Tex, too.
If you're listening, Kane.
We've been tipped off, Tex, that you were spotted out having a look at the nightclubs around Darwin a little bit. We've got it up on Triple M's Instagram page at the moment. And you were spotted at a place called Throb.
Throb?
Yeah, which is the gay nightclub in Darwin.
There's a bloke who went to Throb, because Alice was there, mind you, at the same time.
So she took the photo. He's wearing number 13 Crows Guernsey.
Crows jumper on.
I heard Ditz took the photo.
Ditz was up on stage.
Yeah, but check it out, Tex, because it looks a lot like you, and he's definitely wearing your Guernsey. So
were you there, or was it someone trying to look like you?
Yeah, I think Pikey was doing the roll call Monday, and I was absent.
Tex, absent. Hey, also, thanks for ringing in yesterday. Let's just have a listen to what you had to say yesterday when you rang in.
Good morning.
G'day, boys.
Who's that?
It's Tex here.
Texie, good performance up here, mate. Great performance.
Yeah, went all right. I don't mind the heat.
Yeah, it's like
broken hill a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know whether Corns can stand the heat, though. What about that?
What do you mean, Corns?
He's having a go. You know, I'm just trying to be positive, and he's having a go on the Twitter and things. But anyway.
He has a go at everyone, Tex.
Yeah, good. Should be a good match Friday night, too.
Top of the table.
Seen the letter?
Yeah, I've seen the letter, Tex.
Just point to the top of the letter. Anyone who wants to criticise, just get a finger and point to the top.
You know
what they see?
What?
Crows.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Good.
Anyway.
Right. Anything else for us, Tex?
This lady, she's at the ATM, this old lady, and this young guy comes up. She says, "Excuse me, young fella, could you check my balance?" So he pushed her over.
Right, thanks, Tex.
He's on Perth time.
There you go, Tex. We love it when you ring on Monday.
He's reusing my jokes. I reckon I've used that.
Yeah, I reckon you have used that.
Mm. I have.
Anyway,
sorry, Tex.
Still funny the second time.
It is very funny. It's one of my favourites.
Hey, Tex, this is a massive game. Friday night footy. It's on Triple M. Crows and Geelong, mate. Good luck and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, boys.
There you go. Glass
half full.
Hey, we
haven't got his joke today.
Sorry. Sorry, Tex, before you leave us.
Come on, what's your joke today?
Sorry, mate. Did you hear this lady at the ATM.
Did you hear the rumour about butter?
What?
Never mind, I'm not going to spread it. See you, boys.
That wasn't worth it.
Bye, Tex.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, a show that's been very, very successful over the last couple of years on the ABC. It's on tonight at 9 p.m. Brand new series. We're talking Utopia, and the man who stars in it, he co-writes it, and one of the funniest blokes in Australia, and has been for a long, long time. Rob Sitch, good morning.
Thanks, Ditz. Nice to speak to you guys again.
Rob, I'm really interested to know the team. You've written so many things and starred in so many things with Tom Gleisner, Santo Chilaro. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in your writing meetings. They must be, or I'm asking, are they a lot of fun? Is it getting the, you know, I don't know, a couple of stubbies out and having a laugh together, or is it very, very serious stuff?
My mates have gone organic, so the alcoholic days are over. But it's exactly as you imagine it. We sit around a desk with a whiteboard and go, geez, that'd be a funny idea. When we started this one, it came from, it came from all the stupid things that officers do. You know, I think we thought of it one day when someone came in and said, and just to remind you, the muffins are gluten-free. And we go, why? And they said, because Carol's gluten-free. And we go, Carol left 6 months ago, and then they said, "Do you want us to put the gluten back in?" And I go, "Officers are like that."
Yeah,
officers are like that. So one of the things we do this series of which is our office in the Nation Building Authority, have replaced keys with electronic swipes. And I thought, oh, is that a, and it all goes wrong. Was that? And I was in the ABC yesterday, and they've done the same thing. And do you think I could get in the building? No. So the key worked for 2,500 years, but we've made it better.
Yeah.
Do you know, we can relate to this. I often look at rooms. I'm in an ad. I'm busting to go to the toilet. Have you got your fob? And he'll go, no, I haven't got my fob. And then we have to ask her, who's got a fob? So I need to go to the toilet. You've got to go through four doors to get to our toilet, and you've got to have your security card to get in and out. And this
well,
is what
my
happens,
wife
isn't
drove
it?
Out, you know, with the keyless entry in a car.
Yeah.
She drove the car out, got the car started, drove for half an hour, stopped, shopped, got back in and realised she didn't have the key. You couldn't get the car started again.
Just leave it running.
So the human race has improved,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Eddie, keep a straight face doing stuff like this. Everyone else is laughing their heads off watching it. And you guys can keep a straight face.
I must admit, we sort of, when we think up the silly, when we think up something really, really silly, I absolutely love it. On the actual day, I've sort of, you've got to act like a grown-up. But one of my favourite things was we flew to Alice Springs to do a little start to an episode. That was the launch. We've invented this launch of 6G for the start of the NBN. And it's the 150th anniversary of the Overland Telegraph. But the coverage goes down, the 6G coverage goes down. And so we have to use the Morse code to tell the Prime Minister to stop coming to launch the NBN. So when you think up stupid stuff like that, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, getting up at 4 to fly to Alice Springs wasn't.
No. We can relate to that. I want to go back if I can. I know we're talking about Utopia, but one of my favourite all-time series is Frontline. And when you work in this job, it's the most realistic program I think I've ever seen. And for those that have forgotten, it's about a current affairs office, isn't it, of making
yes,
TV
yeah.
at night. And look, that is, to this day, I think the cleverest thing ever. Now, my question to you, Rob, is that we were always told in the media that it was actually based on someone, that you were getting a lot of stuff leaked to you from, I don't know whether it was a current affair or, you know, the Hinch program or one of those, but is it true?
No, not really, because the great thing about current affairs is it's broadcast. So it's not like they can hide. Mm. So there was a sort of a boom in current affairs a while back, and I used to walk around doing this character, which was a compilation of everybody. And it was sort of, I sort of remember almost, it was me in stupid mode. And then we got a wig and we put it on and then I sat in the studio and we sort of just based it around a guy that's absolutely clueless, but everyone around him's pretty smart. So it sort of more came from that end.
Yeah.
Utopia could take a do a couple of episodes out of the AFL at the moment, perhaps, Rob, with what's going on inside their offices there.
It's going well, isn't it, Roo?
Yeah.
It's, I must admit, I choked on my Wheaties earlier in the week when I realised how tame our office was.
Yeah.
It's given us a fourth series.
Starring Gillon McLachlan.
Oh, hey, mind you, tensions are a bit strong between South Australia and Victoria at the moment. Those Corns boys.
Yeah. Canes are
firing. They play for keeps.
Yeah. Speaking of South Australian boys, Anthony Leeman is one of the actors in Utopia. Yeah. How did Lemo grasp his acting career?
He was originally an accountant, he assures me.
He was.
And I think the accounting industry saw through that and kicked him out. He was...
I said, hang on, he's got a personality.
Yeah,
get
a personality.
Out of here.
Yeah,
that's right, that's right. He's we met him and got on really well with him, and he's just a naturally cheery guy that you never think... Yeah, yeah. And so I said to him the other day, he doesn't have the whinge gene. And so we said, oh, how about you come in? He said, oh, I can't act. And I go, just sort of stay yourself. You know, he's a delightful fella, and good fortune follows him.
Yeah, and he does a great job in Utopia. Not that I'm any judge, but when I watched the series last year, he's a very good actor.
No,
he is. He's a great actor. Hey, Rob, good luck, and well done on the series so far. We're talking a Logie here for most outstanding comedy program, best television comedy series. So it's already stacking up the awards. Mate, I love it, and I know it's going to be a good series again. Rob, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks, guys. Lovely to speak to you.
On the ABC, the ABC Tonight and ABC iView, 9 p.m. Rob Sitch, our special guest.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:56 Ruined Dits on Triple M. Coming to you from Darwin.
Yeah, we're talking about Dits and whether he would be able to take on the under 12 champion.
Oh, don't be silly. I'm not talking about this. You are.
Well,
that's
I am.
Silly.
No, it's not silly. Mick Malloy had a chat to us a while ago. He actually took on the under 12 champion of Victoria. Let's have a listen to it.
You got challenged to a game of squash.
I'm going
to
squash.
For $500.
No, I didn't. I didn't get challenged. I challenged this little prick.
How old is he?
12.
I'm watching the vision as we speak. No. He's the smallest kid I've ever seen for 12, and you've picked on this little kid.
I could have eaten him whole.
Now, what was the bet?
Well, the bet was $500.
There you go. I think what I will do, Dits, is I will try my hardest to find the South Australian State under 12 champion, and you can take him on with after 13 reconstructions and see how brave and gallant and courageous that you are.
I haven't played for 20 years.
At the ripe old age of
53. I haven't got a racket, I haven't got any shoes, I haven't got any shorts that'll fit me.
Seriously, how long since you've had a hit?
Well, it's about 20 years, but I played Donald Rumsfeld once when he visited. Apart from that, I haven't really played.
Who's Donald Rumsfeld?
Oh, he was the Secretary of State of the United States.
Oh, right. Donald Rumsfeld. I thought he was squash player.
No. And then, but I ended up in hospital. He was 80 years of age, and I went to hospital the next day for a knee op. I did. It's true.
Well, he ran you off of your legs,
I came off court, and my knee had blown up that much. I had to go and get it scraped. So that ended in disaster.
Oh, I reckon this could be funny.
He was 83 years of age.
we'll try our hardest to find whoever is there a state under 12 champion for starters, and we'll find him. And you can have a
this
hit with him.
This is ridiculous.
Nah, it could be good fun.
Oh yeah, nah, loads of fun.
Nah, it will be.
Get Ruined Dits for breakfast weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch up at triplem.com.au.